The following sermon was delivered during morning worship at Fifth Avenue Presbyterian Church in New York City. We welcome you to worship with our vibrant community of faith every Sunday on the corner of Fifth Avenue and 55th Street in the heart of Midtown Manhattan. And now, here is our preacher for today's service.
Please join me in prayer. Holy Spirit, may your love reign today. May you speak to our hearts, our minds, and our souls. Remove me if you need to. In your son's name we pray, amen. Now, before the festival of the Passover, Jesus knew that his hour had come to depart from this world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. The devil had already put it into the heart of Judas, son of Simon Iscariot, to betray him. And during supper, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he had come from God, was going to God, got up from the table, took off his outer robe, and tied a towel around himself. Then he poured water into a basin, and he began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel that was tied around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" Jesus answered, "You do not know what I am doing for you, but later you will understand." Peter said to him, "You will never wash my feet." Jesus answered, "Unless I wash you, you have no share with me." Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head." And Jesus said to him, "One who has bathed does not need to wash except for the feet, but is entirely clean. And you are clean, though not all of you." For he knew who was going to betray him. For this reason, he said, "Not all of you are clean." And after he had washed their feet, had put on his robe, and he returned to the table, he said to them, "Do you know what I have done for you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for that is what I am. So if I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have set you an example, that you also should do as I have done to you. Very truly, I tell you, servants are not greater than their master, nor a messenger greater than the one who sent them. If you know these things, you are blessed if you do them. I give you a new commandment, that you love one another, just as I have loved you. You also should love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you have loved one another." This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
So I have a confession for you. I enjoy the occasional pedicure. This all started about 10 years ago when I was doing youth ministry in California. We took a group of students to the Sierra Mountains for this wilderness adventure. And one student had a particularly rough time. So after going through the whole trip, as a reward, we took her to get a pedicure at the end of the trip. We thought it would be silly for her to experience me getting my first pedicure. I thought it would just be a silly experience. I had no idea how much I would actually enjoy it. I was sold as soon as they started to massage my calves. So like I said, I now enjoy the occasional pedicure, especially with my fiance. It's good quality time together. Yet when I think about it, when I really think about it, that a stranger is washing my feet, it is completely bizarre to me. And it's actually kind of awkward. I try not to make much conversation with the person washing my feet, so I start to talk to April or I flip through my phone, because if I start talking to them, it starts to get weird. And yet, in this passage, we see Jesus wash the feet of his disciples, and it's awkward. Jesus isn't supposed to be doing that. Jesus is the leader of these disciples, and on the same night that he was arrested, he washes the disciples' feet. Their feet are probably dirty. They've been walking around in sandals or no footwear whatsoever, so you are sure that they had incredibly dirty feet. Feet washing was for hygiene, Or maybe as a sign of hospitality, servants would go to the guest of the household and offer them a bowl of water so that they can wash their feet. This is certainly not Jesus' job. This is why Peter freaks out about it. He's not afraid of foot washing. He just does not want Jesus to do it. So why does Jesus do this? Why does Jesus take on the role of a servant? The answer is in the passage. Jesus does this out of love. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. Jesus knows that the hour is coming. He knows that his imminent death is approaching real soon. So what does he do with the little time that he has left? He has a meal with the people that he loves. And he gets on his hands and knees and he washes their feet. I'm not completely sure the disciples know exactly what was happening. And Jesus says to them, "Do you know what I'm doing for you? Do you know how much that I've loved you?" And yet this is Christ showing them how much he loves them. And this will ultimately lead to the cross. Love for Jesus does something. Love for Jesus leads to the cross. For Jesus, love takes the side of redemption. For Jesus, love is a choice, an action of service. He tells them that now that he has washed their feet, that they must wash one another's feet. After giving them this gift, after they get their feet wet, he is inviting them to participate in this radical love. And he tells them this, "I give you a new commandment." And it's a simple one. But yet he says it to them 3 times. "I give you a new commandment, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you should love one another. By this, they will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another." This verse is simple, but yet it's rich. Why must we love? Because Jesus loved us. And how should we love? In the same Jesus-like service. So what do we know about love? We know that love is more than just thoughts and feelings, but love is also servant-like action. Love actually does something. There's a band called the Wild Reeds, and one of their lyrics says, "Love is a choice every morning. It's not just a fuzzy feeling in the room." Love gives us a commandment to love like Jesus did. And how did we see Jesus love? By loving those who seemed unlovable, by touching those who were untouchable, by being with the people that others just considered a waste of space. That's how Jesus loved. Last week, there was a trailer for a new documentary called "Won't You Be My Neighbor?" A documentary about Reverend Fred Rogers, or better known as Mr. Rogers. A little fun fact, Mr. Rogers was also a Presbyterian minister. It seems that this documentary will show what his show was about, the radical steps he took to give a simple message. And at the end of the trailer, you hear Mr. Rogers' voice say, "The greatest thing we can do is to tell somebody that they are loved and that they are capable of loving." The greatest thing we can do is to tell somebody that they are loved and that they are capable of loving. Isn't this what Jesus did with his disciples that night? He tells them, "I love you all. I have washed your feet. You are deeply loved and you are capable of loving. Go now and love one another." Sisters, brothers, siblings, the same message is for you. You are deeply loved by the God who created you. You are loved by the Christ who took action for you on the cross. You are deeply loved and you are capable of loving. So go out and love. There is an organization that I have been a supporter of for years, and I've actually worked with them. It's an organization called To Write Love on Her Arms. They help people who are dealing with depression and anxiety, and especially young people. But this nonprofit organization, they considered themselves a movement. And it started off with one person, with a story, the story of Renee. They found Renee bleeding, and she was high. And she wrote on her arms the word screw up, but with more profane language. And they didn't know exactly what to do with her, so they take her to a clinic. But they won't take her. It does not have a detox center. So they decide to take her in for the next few days to give her some good old-fashioned love. They take her to rock concerts, to an Orlando Magic game, but they also listen to her. They cry with her. Jamie Torkowski, who wrote the story, says this about those days. I have watched life come back to her, and it's been a privilege. When our time with her began, someone suggested that maybe we take shifts. But that is the language of business. Love is something better. I have been challenged and changed, reminded that love is the simple answer to so many of our hardest questions. Donald Miller says we're called to hold our hands against the wounds of the broken world, to stop the bleeding. And I agree so greatly. We often ask God to show up. We pray prayers of rescue. But perhaps God would ask us to be that rescue, to be his body, to move for things that matter. He is not invisible when we come alive. It might be simple, but more and more, I believe God works in love, speaks in love, is revealed in our love. I have seen that this week, and honestly, it has been simple. You take a broken girl, you treat her like a famous princess, give her the best seats in the house, you buy her coffee and cigarettes for the coming down, books and bathroom things for the days ahead. You tell her something true when all she has known are lies. You tell her that God loves her. You tell her about forgiveness, the possibility of freedom. You tell her that she was made to dance in white dresses. All these things are true. We are only asked to love, to offer hope to the many hopeless. We don't get to choose all the endings, but we are asked to play the rescuers. We won't solve all mysteries, and our hearts will certainly break in such a vulnerable life. But it's the best way. We were made to be lovers, bold in broken places, pouring ourselves out again and again until we are called home. For those days, they loved Renee like Jesus loved Renee. In a sense, they washed her feet. They told her that she was loved and that she was capable of loving. So may you know that for yourself. In Christ, you are loved and you are capable of loving. So go out and love.
Go from this place, dear friends, friends of the crucified, in courage and love. Go and search for the coming of the light. Amen.
We hope this sermon has been meaningful to you and provided a message of hope, encouragement, and good news. If you are in New York City, we invite you to visit our historic church and join us for worship. You will find our address, worship calendar, and other information on our website, fapc.org. If you would like to help support this audio ministry, please text the dollar amount of your gift, followed by the word sermons, to 646-491-8331. Again, that is the amount of your gift, followed by the word sermons, to 646-491-8331. Thank you, and God bless.